And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. It is a green and gold Monday coming off what was a very entertaining weekend here in sports, really here in the city. Bucks with a loss on Friday night, packed house, Pfizer Forum. They then win against the Raptors, so they beat the Raptors twice now, and things are looking pretty good for Milwaukee after a huge trade. Marquette gets the upper hand against the Badgers on Saturday, and then the Packers keep their playoff hopes alive. And I feel a little subconscious today, Chuck, when, and I'm saying 4%, 5% chance, because that's what there is. But when I say that, I feel people driving around and saying, ah, shut up, guy, they're not making the playoffs. But there's a path for them. So, and we said this a couple weeks ago, as long as that path is there, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, went from 1% to 5%. What more could he ask for?
That's huge.
Yeah, well, the dominoes fell in place yesterday.
And don't tell me that 5%, there's no chance. 5% is something. If there was no chance, it'd be zero. It's five. It could happen. Now, the problem is here's how it runs down. Because in the NFC right now, the Packers would need to probably get that second wild card spot, which is currently held between, well, the Seahawks are 7-5 for the fifth seed, and Vikings are 6-5-1. For the sixth seed. Panthers, they lost yesterday. They're 6-7. Eagles, they lost yesterday. They're 6-7. Redskins, they lost yesterday. They're 6-7. The Buccaneers lost as well. So for the Packers to get in, they need Washington to lose just one of their remaining three. This is assuming the Packers win out. They need the Eagles to lose just one of their remaining three. And they need Carolina to lose just one of their remaining three. So that could very well happen. Now, the problem is the Vikings and the Seahawks, and they play tonight. So two of the teams in front of them, they play tonight. So whoever loses tonight when Minnesota goes to Seattle, they need that team to then lose two of their next three. So if Seattle loses tonight, the Packers would need Seattle to lose two of San Francisco, the Chiefs, and Arizona, which there's probably only one loss in there. And then Minnesota, if they lose tonight, they need to lose two of hosting Miami at Detroit and hosting Chicago, and that seems difficult. And on top of all this, like we said, they have to win out if they're going to get in the playoffs. But hey, if there's a 5% chance, it's small, but it's a chance. Zero, if there was a 0% chance, I wouldn't have gone through those scenarios. But guess what? 5%, it can still happen.
Yeah. Minnesota, I think we need to have lose tonight. Of those two scenarios between Minnesota and Seattle losing, I think we need to have Minnesota lose, because I think there's a better chance of them, Bart, losing 2 or 3 than Seattle losing 2 or 3. Down the stretch, I could see possibly Minnesota drop. You know, the game against Chicago is going to be tough. Going at Detroit, you know, Detroit showed a little fight yesterday. That could be a possibility as well. So, those teams that each got to lose one game. Yeah, I very much could that scenario. I'm not worried about. It's whether or not Minnesota or Seattle can drop two of the three remaining games.
Chuck and Winkler, served up here by Perkins, 414-799-1250. So when it comes down to this, we just laid out the kind of weak playoff scenario, but it's there. So are you someone that is rooting yesterday to want them to get into the playoffs? Or would you rather, this is a would you rather, no indifference here, would you rather them just have a nicer, higher draft pick so that they can have more guys to choose from? I personally don't think there's a huge difference. There is a difference. I mean, you can get more guys at 6 than you can at 16, but I in the NFL, there's so many different, like, guys to choose from, and there's such different varying of needs when it comes to the teams that are drafting that I think, I don't, I don't think that the difference between 6 and 16 is as big as it is like in the NBA. It is a difference, but I it's not something that I would root against the Packers for. I sat there yesterday and I rooted, I mean, I want them to win. I wanted them to win. There's some people that were mad that they won because they want the draft pick to be higher, and I can't get into that realm.
Well, here's the deal. If there's somebody they really like at 6 or 7 and they're sitting at 16, that's where that plays in. Let's say this, they feel like, hey, this guy at number 7 or 8 or 9, that's a guy we could really use, but here we are sitting at 16, and they can't find a way to trade up. That's where I think it would hurt a Bart. It's you know, maybe talent, you know, the talent might not be all that different, but there might be a special player that they feel is worthy of, would fit to their team that they really want. They can't get to that player because they're blocked to where they stand in the draft and they can't trade up.
Larry tweets in and says, I would say I'd rather go to the playoffs always. This draft pick discussion is so goofy unless the Packers decide to rest Rodgers. They're not playing for the draft. I just don't see the guys mailing it in. Jason tweets in and says, big difference, guys, between 6 and 16 in the draft. If you have no chance at the Super Bowl, why not give yourself a better chance at an impact player in the draft? 799-1250, 414-799-1250.
Yeah, Bart, I'm never one of those guys who can root against my team. You know, unless it's... It came down to the end where you had a chance at, like the Bucks a few years ago, when you know they were really vying for one of the top three spots. You know, to get Jabari Parker, who I really wanted. And that didn't turn out well. But unless we're in that scenario, but I didn't go into yesterday's game thinking, man, God, I hope the Packers lose, and I hope they lose next week against Chicago and keep on losing because you know, I want to get that higher draft pick as possible. I'm not there yet, and I didn't want to see my team go out and lose 34-7. But at the same token, I didn't want to see any of my key guys or anybody. I didn't want to see any major injuries coming out of that game that's going to set me back going in the next season.
I was texting a friend last night. I said, "Hey, how was the crowd?" Because he was at the game.
Was he the same one that you needed for hymns.com?
Sure.
Okay.
Because a friend needs that, not
yes.
me.
Yeah.
I said, how was the crowd today? He said, crowd was good, loud, no booing. We need to stop winning, though. I want a high pick. And I said, everything went right for them, though, today. The long shot playoff possibility remains. And he said, no, this team blows. We need to nail the draft this year. Outside of Adams, our receivers are brutal. Graham may have been the worst signing ever.
Well, Graham isn't here long term, and I don't think they're going to have him back next year. But Montrevious, Adams is all right. He's good. St. Brown, I think there's some promise for him. I don't think the receivers are brutal. Do you?
No, I don't.
Say the Packers receivers are brutal?
My friend texts the Packers receivers are brutal. I can give you his number if you want to.
Yeah, I don't know where he
follow
sees
up on that. Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm just saying, I don't think they're brutal. I don't think they're brutal. Randall Cobb has seen better days. They had a nice touchdown on a hot read yesterday. But I don't think the Packer receivers are brutal. And I think the running backs are fine. All right? I think there's obviously, we know the areas they need help in. But I don't think receiver is one of those.
414-799-1250. Roger is in Cudahy. Roger, we're discussing, would you rather have your team get a better draft pick or try to, you know, somehow make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I've chimed in on this before. I was hoping. There's a difference. Obviously, I'm torn. I'd love to see him kick the snot out of the Bears next week.
Yeah,
but
Bears
at
week.
At the same time, I've looked at the teams in front of them for the wild card. I've looked at their schedule. I don't think there's a chance in hell of them getting into the playoffs, but I'm still torn. You can't have it both ways. You can't protect against injury and play your starters, you know? So I think that's the key. I want to see them protect their starters. In the process of doing that, They're more likely to lose. And if they lose, it's the difference potentially between picking 7th or 17th or 20th. It's that simple. So I hope, yeah, I would have fully accepted a loss yesterday. I'm torn. I'd like to see them beat the Bears, but no. I think losing will afford them victories in the future. Draft choices are important. Teams put value. They trade up for them. I mean, let's deny, if people say it doesn't matter, then that's a separate issue. Then the draft picking available has to call into question. Yes, I'm torn, but I'd rather see them lose. The draft picks are important.
Now, when I was at the game yesterday, I heard 75,000 fans or whatever it was that the announced attendance was. I'm sure it sounded like there was a lot of people who wanted them to win yesterday and were excited that they won. I didn't hear anybody, you know, say, "Wow, geez, no, don't score that touchdown because it's going to ruin our draft pick." Those people in attendance were cheering for the team yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, how it goes is you can't, on the surface, it might sound stupid because we're asking you, do you want your team to lose? And then when you go to the game, if you're going to go to the game, if you're going to sit down and invest 3 hours of your afternoon, you are rooting for them to win. And nobody wants to lose to the Bears. I think a lot of people are going to say, "Well, if it wasn't the Bears, I'd sit Rodgers this week." There might be people that say that. But in April, no one is going to care that the 5-7-1 Packers won or lost to the Bears. We're going to care about it now. We're going to be invested now. But in April, that's going to be the furthest thing from our mind. So it's kind of short-term versus long-term here, instant satisfaction versus a payoff of a reward. If you can think that far in advance, that's sort of where this question comes into play.
Why have the excitement and the thrill of beating the Bears now, the instant success or the instant thrill, where and the bragging rights now, because those bragging rights don't matter in April. I get that totally.
Matthew tweets in and says, "You never tank just to move up a few picks. It's too early to get into a culture of losing. You got to maintain the winning." And on a high note, where do you guys fall? We'll read some more tweets. Hear from you, 799-1250. We will continue to go inside that locker room throughout the morning. And Mike McCarthy says goodbye. We'll have details on that as well. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Good morning. It's a green and gold Monday. A victory Monday. How about it? Packers beat the Falcons 34-20. 5-7-1 now on the season. Put it about a 4-5% chance, depending on which metric you use, that they could still make the playoffs. They've got the Bears this week, and we're talking right now, what do you want them to do? I mean, this is a question that we talked up through last week. We'll continue to talk about it. You wonder how long should Aaron Rodgers play. You don't want to play for nothing and then have him get hurt. You don't want to play for nothing and maybe have some of these other guys get hurt. And with how banged up the offensive line was, and we got our first taste of Alex Light for a couple snaps yesterday, maybe you don't keep trotting him out here. And maybe you do not try to lose. You're not going to try to lose, but if you don't play Aaron Rodgers, it's clear you're not doing everything you can to win, and then your draft pick is better. So would you rather have a higher draft pick, or would you rather have a chance at the playoffs? And if you look at some of these draft picks over the years, it's not like the Packers have, you know, wowed people in the first round anyway. So what's the difference between 6 and 16? Sometimes it's the difference between Sheldon Rankins, who in 2016 went at 12, or Kenny Clark, same position, who went at 27, and Rankins isn't a terrible player, but Kenny Clark could be a Pro Bowler here and maybe someday an All-Pro. So sometimes it doesn't mean if you draft first, you get the first and the best player in the draft. And if you draft second, you get the second best. And if you draft third, you get the third. That's not how it works. If that was for sure the case, then I would understand it a little more. But the draft is a crapshoot. So if you draft 8th or 15th, it's not worth not trying to at least see if you can make the playoffs.
Well, look at the wide receivers the Packers have drafted. Okay, Jamon Moore was the highest drafted wide receiver, and he can't get on the field. And the guys who are drafted behind him, those guys get to play. So, yeah, sometimes it works out that way. Or there might be, you know, there's sixth or seventh round draft picks or undrafted guys who make a team ahead of guys who are drafted. So, you know, that's, I mean, who knows? Again, you really never know until you actually get these guys in your team and actually play. So the draft, you know, it's all based on potential. But, no, I don't want the Packers to lose. But, you know, this game against Chicago coming up, I mean, we saw the Bears again last night with their defense. And, you know, they just they're impressive. They continue to win games. You know, they lost last week to the Giants, but they bounced back at home against a good Rams team, and they get the job done as a home underdog. So, and their defense came to play once again last night. So that's going to be a tough game. Now, it'll be impressive. And of course, it's not beyond them, the Packers, to go in and win this game against Chicago. They're capable of going, Bart, in Chicago and winning this game next Sunday.
I don't disagree with that. I don't know if they will yet or not, but they are capable of it. They certainly are capable of doing that. Brian tweets in. You guys can call 799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, the Fan Facebook, Instagram as well. Brian says, it's not really rooting for the Packers to lose. We all want them to play well and to win, but with the season being a disappointment, a loss is not that bad. And that's why when we opened the airwaves this morning, we said, how does this loss make you feel? Or how does this win make you feel? Because I think that, you know, winning this week, yeah, okay, you won. There's an indifference. I think everybody's in the middle on indifference, but slightly to the nice. And if they lose, you're going to be indifferent, but slightly to the man. But it's not going to be like a devastating loss because of everything that's happened this season before it. 414-799-1250. Santino, Oak Creek, what's up?
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I guess my biggest thing is there's no way I want to lose to the Bears ever. I don't really care what the case is or what the situation is, just being a pretty diehard Packer fan. And on top of that, I mean, even if we do get a better draft pick, being a Packer fan and knowing other Packer fans, there's always going to be complaints about what the draft was, you know, or what the pickup was. So no matter what, I don't care if it's a half of a percentage, I want to get that chance to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get in the playoffs, I mean, realistically, can they go to the Super Bowl? No. I can't believe we're talking about it at this point, considering where they were a week ago. But, you know, realistically, can they go to the Super Bowl? Probably not. I mean, they probably got 5% chance of going to the Super Bowl if they did make the postseason. But, yeah, I mean, I just like to see them in there in the postseason. It would be great if they somehow got in the postseason, Bart, and went down to Chicago and ruined their season. That would be like the ultimate, man.
I know the chance is slim, and so maybe saying playoffs makes it sound dumb. So I guess we'll just ask you, are you rooting for them to win or lose? I mean, that when you cut right down to it, playoffs or draft pick is just a more creative way with alliteration to ask you guys what we're asking. Would you rather have the Packers win these games or lose these games? 799-1250. Our boy Kevin on the north side. What's up, Kev?
Hi, Kev.
Hey, good morning, players. How y'all doing?
How you doing, player?
All right. Well, first off, I just want to say I was way off in my prediction on Friday. Rodgers didn't get the 300. He didn't get the 3 touches as I predicted. So, but what I did notice was a little more pep in his step, and you know, the play calls were coming in much faster, and you know, much more, you know, fluent. You know, even though Rodgers still missed a couple guys, he looked a lot more lively out there. So I was happy to see that. And to answer your question, of course I want to see him win. I mean, I don't want to see him tank and, you know, for a higher draft pick because, I mean, look, I mean, do you want the Packers to keep getting younger and younger? I mean, they're already one of the most, you know, most young teams, the younger teams in the league with an aging Rodgers. I mean, it does not make sense to me. You know, I mean, you know, get you, you know, use what you have, you know, possibly go out in free agency and, you know, stop with all these. I mean, the draft is a crapshoot anyway. So, you know, I want to hear where you guys stand on that.
Yeah, I don't think the Packers are going downhill. They're not going in that. I'm just going to look at this as an off year. They had to make a coaching change. And I think a new coach is going to come in and breathe some life into these guys. There's talent on this team. They're not bad. They need to make a few adjustments and make a few off-season moves. But I could see them getting right back on the horse again next year, Bart, and going back to the postseason and riding the ship. You know, if they fix a few things on this team and they stay again. Health is important. We haven't mentioned that this morning, but health is always a key with these guys, and that's been a problem even when they make the playoffs.
We'll get some of the latest injury updates. Michael Cohen will join us at 8:20. Again, this is a season where there has been a lot of change, and that's why we're kind of at the spot where we are at. There's been so much change that they fired their head coach and won their first game with Joe Philbin as the interim head coach. The former head coach was Mike McCarthy, who was everybody's hero this week because he put out a full-page advertisement in the Green Bay Press Gazette and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and some of the other Gannett papers. He talked about how he has pride and there's pride in the people and he'll be forever grateful. And we all acted like it was the greatest thing anyone's ever done in the history of sentiment. The guy took out a full-page ad in the newspaper. It was nice. It was a nice gesture to say thank you. You know, it's always nice, but it's not. Let's not like crown him here.
No, but I think it was a nice gesture for him to do that, Bart. No one told him he didn't have to do something like that. But for him to go out and take an ad out and thank people like that the way he did, I thought that was pretty cool, man. For him to do something like that, man. He had a great run. He's going out with his head held high. And, yeah, were there certain things that we didn't like about McCarthy? Yes, of course. But he's going out with some dignity. He did that to Packer fans. And he's leaving on a good note, all right? That's more than I could say for a guy what Greg Jennings did, all right, and the way he went out. Mike McCarthy is always going to be welcome back to Lambeau Field, and he's always going to have a place in Packer history. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. He won a Super Bowl for Green Bay.
But he would have anyway. I feel the way that I'm reading how people are – reading this advertisement is because he put out the full page ad. Now we all love him.
I feel like people,
that guy left. Darn, we hate him. But if he took out a full page ad, like if Matt Garza would have put out a full page ad thanking Brewers fans, oh, well, I didn't like him, but he took out a full page ad. Like, hey, you want to show thanks? How about you buy a radio ad? How about you buy a radio ad and thank the radio? Nobody's reading these papers. So now I got to go rush to a gas station and pay $2 for a thin paper just so I can have this copy of your thank you note?
Come on, you did something good and you're crapping on him.
It's a full page ad. We're acting
I thought it was a great gesture, man.
We're acting
people
like
do that.
He gave us Christmas 3 weeks early and dropped the presents in all our houses.
Yeah, no.
It's a newspaper advertisement.
He did something nice, and I feel like you're looking at it like it was a bad thing he did.
No, it's a fine thing. It's a nice thing he did.
Yeah, well, you're not.
It's a nice thing. End of story. Not head held high. We appreciate him. He can always come back here.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. But that was true before he did this. But nobody says that until he puts out the ad.
But for him exactly.
That's what
I'm saying. He didn't have to do this. That's why I said he didn't have to do this part, but he did, and it was a great gesture toward the fans.
Yeah, he wasted a bunch of money because I can't see, I haven't seen this real newspaper. I just see the newspaper website showing the ad, and the print is so tiny, I still don't know what the hell he said. I didn't read it. I went to read it.
Thought you said you went and paid $2 for a paper.
Oh, I would never. I went to PackersNews.com.
Yeah.
I tried to read it. I have it up right now. This print, it's like reading the Magna Carta from 100 yards away.
Hey, you know what? He's trying to keep the newspaper industry alive.
That's fine. Journalism's important.
He's trying to pay for Michael Cohen's salary.
Well, he bolted to go to the Athletics, so pick a new
guy. Oh, that's right. He's not there anymore.
pick a new guy. Hey, I don't know if you saw this. It was on the Fox pregame, and I know you were at the game. I thought this was cooler. He took a video when he was in Lambeau for the last time. I think it was Wednesday night, and a couple of security guys walked with him. But he was taking a screenshot video on his cell phone and just soaking it in one last time. He sent that to Jay Glazer, who then they aired it on the Fox pregame on Sunday. So I thought that was kind of neat just to hear McCarthy's voice on a cell phone say, wow, this is It was really cool. That I liked.
Now, I didn't see it. I know he did it, but I did not see the video yet. Two things of that part. Number one, didn't think enough of the Packer local media to send it to any of us. Okay? All right, that's I'd be offended by that for people. But he sent it to Jay Glazer. And number two, I mean, that he was walking with security guards next to him. And was Mike in handcuffs too?
No, he wasn't shackles in handcuffs. On? They showed the two security guards were like in the tunnel. And then I think at the very, very end of the tunnel, you saw Mark Murphy's beady little eyes did poking he? Off of a yeah. of a wall saying, get
did he
out
have an
of
orange,
Mike.
Did he have an orange jumpsuit on when he walked through?
Inmate number 756432.
So they could keep an eye on him in case he took off on them.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries here on The Fan. You want to talk about a full-page ad, Frames. How about a full-page ad from Q Club of Wisconsin? Because the 6 minutes you're about to spend on them, it's just as good as a full-page ad.
Well, you better. I'll tell you what, if you go to Q Club, you're not going to be spending 6 minutes in the place. You'll be spending a couple of hours or so. Because the place is a terrific place to go, you know, watch all your favorite sports action, the huge entertainment room as well. The food is delicious. But let's start with the sports action. You get all your friends there, watch your favorite sporting events. You go like this weekend, they had all the games on and all that. And their huge entertainment room with the pool tables, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, the electronic darts, the ping pong, and a whole lot more. The Q Club of Wisconsin. The public response to the Q Club's new indoor bocce ball league has been amazing. And, you play there, the indoor leagues, you could either sign up for a league, you could form your own league, contact the Q Club, and they'll tell you. But I'm telling you, the indoor leagues are going over just like the outdoor leagues have gone over all over southeastern Wisconsin. And as far as the food is concerned, when we think of sports bar, we think of watching sports and the good food, and they certainly got both. The food, the awesome burgers, the wings, the appetizers, the award-winning fish fries, so good that the fish fries are not only on Friday nights, but they got them on Wednesdays as well. Four different styles piled high with all the extras. Check out the happy hours daily from 3 until 7. The late night happy hour starting at 10 o'clock. Go to their Facebook page if you want the live entertainment on weekends. They will have all the lineup of all the weeks to come of all the entertainment that's coming to the Q Club of Wisconsin. You got a private party coming up. Let's say the holidays are coming up here and you still haven't decided what you're going to do. Go to the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. They'll give you a private room available with your own VIP suite with a luxury pool table. So, hey, you're not going to find too many of those around where you can get a place where you got a pool table right in your VIP suite. It's all at the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's north side. Get out there for the food, the sports, the indoor playroom, as we call it, their indoor sports room. The Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. That's Highway T. Take 94 West to Highway T and go about a half mile south into Waukesha there, and it's right there. You'll see the sign. The Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com, or on Facebook. That is the Q Club of Wisconsin.
Frames, you know me pretty well, right? You would think.
Some days.
The sentiment is that I faked that little outburst. That's the sentiment. That I didn't. Look, the full page ad is fine, but let's not praise this guy. We can't be won over so easy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jordy Nelson took out a full page ad. Wow, it's so nice. Yeah, it's nice because now you remember them better. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a selfish act. It ain't to thank us.
No, it isn't. It is to thank us.
Yeah.
It is to thank us.
We should be more cynical.
What people feel about that.
No.
I think people are excited about that.
They're excited about a full-page ad.
Okay, excited is the wrong word. I think people look at that as saying, hey, you know what, that was a nice thing that McCarthy did because he didn't have to go out and spend a couple of thousand or whatever it is to take out a full-page ad.
If we're going
to
spend 10 minutes on the full-page ad, we might as well do 10 minutes on the wave and then another 10 minutes on the national anthem the guy screwed up.
Well, the show's not that. We still got, we still got 2 hours and 30 minutes left to go here, so I don't think we're talking. I missed the national anthem. I did not know it until afterwards. I saw it on Twitter. I saw that. I missed the national anthem.
I didn't know until this morning. I was doing some reading. Yeah. Missed the guy, some words?
I missed the national anthem. The guy apparently skipped the verse.
Okay.
He did. I missed the national anthem. I was not in my seat at the time. So I did not see the national anthem.
So NFL's going all out to make sure everyone's positioned a certain way during it, and then they can't even find a guy that knows the song.
Who was the guy anyway?
I don't know who these people are.
I didn't even know who that guy was. He was from a band?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it was cool that Mike McCarthy took out the ad, man.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Green Bay beats Atlanta.
Does it get any better than this?
There's a lot to say about this one, and we're talking about it with you all day. It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday on The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org. Want free food? Be the first to know yesterday's Chili's MVP at 414-799-1250, and you'll win free Chili's cash. This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Packers fans need, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, who is the Chili's MVP. You can win some free Chili's. Be the first caller with the right answer at 799-1250. Who did they name on the Green and Gold postgame show, Bill Gary and John Kuhn, yesterday as the Chili's MVP? Let's go out to Liz. Liz, who was the Chili's MVP?
Aaron Rodgers.
Was it? Aaron Rodgers.
Your Chili's MVP, Aaron Rodgers. 34-14, the Packers get a win. They knock off the Atlanta Falcons.
Third and 10. Blitz again from Atlanta. Rodgers stands in, throwing, going in. It's a touchdown. Randall Cobb.
There it is, your Chili's MVP, Aaron Rodgers. He connected with Randall Cobb on that one. He connected with Davante Adams earlier. Aaron Rodgers, your Chili's MVP. Pete, did he look a lot different to you, Chuck Rodgers, than he did
no.
a week ago?
I mean, I thought the plays came in. Kevin, it was right on. It sounded like the plays were coming in, you know, pretty quickly compared to what they have. You know, I mean, how many times have we been frustrated with McCarthy and Rodgers, who've been working together for 13 years, yet the plays, and they had to burn timeouts because the plays weren't in time and personnel. Feel like, Bart, yesterday the personnel and the plays were just coming in pretty quickly, and there was really a fluid motion yesterday. And I'm like, how come this didn't happen before? Where was this fluid motion of the offense and the fluid play calling before? It should have been, but for whatever reason, it wasn't. But, I mean, that's really the only way I thought I saw a difference in Rodgers was because of the fluidity with the play calling.
You definitely saw a difference in the team. I think they were at least a little more relaxed, or just that pressure, that weight, that mystery of, I mean, that you're kind of walking into your own tombstone when you know that, or your own funeral plot when you know that your coach is going to get fired and there's going to be a lot of change, and then at the very last second you get an extra, you know, few weeks or days or months or whatever. So they played with that more of a looseness yesterday. Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com. This will be in the today's edition of the paper, not the one from the other day with the full-page ad. But coaches that fire their coach, teams that fire their coach in season dating back to 2003, are now 10-14 in their next game. So NFL teams that have fired their coach are 10-14 in their next game. You may think, well, 10-14, that's not a winning record. That's not fantastic. That's a winning percentage of only 42%. All right, but those teams before the firing in those seasons were a combined 6,472-2. That's a 26% winning percentage. So there is a bump. We talked about it. I know Sparky's been big on that last week, that there is, when you fire your coach, there's a bump. Sometimes it pays off with a win. Sometimes it doesn't. But there is sort of just a different feeling. Either that black cloud is gone, or everybody realizes, hey, if they fired him, they could fire me, so I'm going to go out there and it's lit a fire under you, and you're going to play as hard as you can. So I don't think too many people, Chuck, were surprised that they did just look a little crisper yesterday, which they did. Rodgers didn't throw anything in the dirt. There were still some decisions where I think he had a guy in front of him, or maybe he threw it away when he didn't have to, but there was far less of that. The game he played last week, the worst game I've ever seen him play, and I'm not exaggerating, against the Cardinals, it was brutal. He should be embarrassed. this was better. This was a good performance. I know it was a bad team that they beat, but sometimes you need that to get right.
Yeah, Atlanta had nothing to play for, and they came in there, you know, again, they're from a warm weather city down in Atlanta. It's warmer, certainly, than here. And they came up here, and they could tell that there was not a lot of effort there alive. And Matt Ryan was terrible. Boy, I wish Matt Ryan would have played that way in the NFC Championship game a couple of seasons ago, where he couldn't do anything wrong against the Packers, but that was a terrible effort on his part. He just looked like he didn't want to be there, and he was trying to get Quinn fired. But
He had 262 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. I mean, the stats were there.
But how much of that was in garbage time?
This is what I'm saying, dude. I've been saying Aaron Rodgers looks terrible all year, and people throw the stats at me, and then I say, no, you got to watch the game. So I just wanted to try it. I just wanted to try that on for size once. Be just a stack guy.
Garbage time. I mean, look at the. I mean, I didn't think he. I mean, when he counted, Matt Ryan didn't play well. That fumble, the ball that slipped out of his hands, two of them, just not very good. He did not have a very good performance. But the Packers, you know, is back to playing well after you get fired. I remember when Davey Lopes, manager of the Brewers back, 17, 18 years ago. The day after he got fired, he had a press conference at Miller Park, which is a rarity. And he even said, watch, this team will win a few games after I'm gone, because that's what usually happens. Though a team will get – I usually don't hear this happen. A manager say this, but a team usually gets a quick bump up and they win some games, but it'll be back to struggling again, he said. And he was a no-nonsense guy, and he was right. They won 3 games under Jerry Royster, and then he came back, and they went on to continue to have their just awful season. But that's going to happen, and who knows? They may finish with 3 straight wins, but that doesn't mean that that Joe Philbin's the right answer for this job.
Brewers won their first game with Craig Counsell, I recall.
Yeah.
Did the Bucks get on a better streak when Prunty took over from Kidd? What was their initial record after Prunty took over from Kidd?
I don't remember, but I think when Cristovia, I forgot who was replaced him in midseason a few years ago, and their first game was against San Antonio, and they came out and they beat San Antonio. I was like, wow, hey, maybe this is finally the coaching change. Maybe that was the difference. You know, they beat San Antonio, and then they came back and continued to be bad after that. So I've seen it happen many times where that happened on all teams, but I wouldn't read too much into it. You know, they're just trying to finish it off the string and trying to do things the right way. And I like, Rodgers said too. He said at this press conference, now whether he really means it is another thing. He was telling his teammates that, we need to go out and play with pride and do things the right way, and just how lucky we are to play in the NFL.
Yeah, Joe Prunty was 4-0 after taking over for Kidd.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I think he was end up going like 7-3 as well in his first 10 games, but he got after a 4-game winning streak taking over.
That's right. He was winning games. Remember that? Yeah,
he was good.
Yeah, well, good enough to get himself another assistant coaching job in the NBA. That's for sure.
Is he with Detroit? Didn't we just see him the other day? Where's he with?
Where was he?
Smoking Joe Prunty.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't remember.
Jam Master Joe Prunty.
Is he Phoenix?
No, I don't think he's Phoenix.
Joe the Pro Prunty.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. This morning...
He is with Phoenix.
He is?
Yes.
So he came back and beat the Bucks?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah, he beat the Bucks. He's with Phoenix. Yeah, I thought so.
Joe in control, Prunty. Joe, this silver-haired assassin, Prunty.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. This morning, a little cold. It's been cold. It's been very cold in the morning. So what that means is there's a little more frost on the windows. We've sort of avoided the snow. I don't know, you guys, if you saw the foot of snow that they're getting just south of D.C. in North Carolina. But that'll come soon at some point. But it's the cold. It's the cold that you hate sitting in there. And sometimes, yeah, you're scraping off the car, you're scraping off the snow, you get back in the car, you're freezing, you're frigid, and you lost your one glove, so you're, scraping the car with your hand in your sleeve of your shirt. You're trying to beat winter, you're trying to avoid it. We live here, we do like it here, but Winter does have its problems. Sound decisions, that's where they come in. They have remote car starters that will warm up that vehicle for you, so when you do get in it in the morning before work, or when you do get in and out of the way home from work, or if you're out, you know, at a restaurant over the weekend or during the week or wherever, that car is going to be nice, toasty, and warm by the time that you get in. Pro tip, you can also have the defrost on, and then you won't have to scrape as much on the outside. Sound decisions, they've been doing car audio systems since 1972. They also sell more remote car starters than anybody else. What they do is offer the leading brands. They've got competitive pricing, and the installation is quick as well. It took 90 minutes for me to get that done. There's a coffee shop nearby. They've got a very nice waiting area. You get some work done, watch some TV, read a newspaper, see who's got the full page ad of the day. It's all in there at Sound Decisions. Mine, again, installed in less than 2 hours. They make sure you know how to use it before you leave. Basically, it's, hey, do you see this button? Hit it. It starts. Pretty easy, but if you can't figure that out, they will spend the time and help you. Give them a call today. Sound Decisions, 262-633-8D300. 262-633. Get yourself started on the remote car starter system for your car. You can also check them out on Facebook or their website, brightpinkmailbox.com. There's a story behind that, but Chris will tell you about that. Brightpinkmailbox.com. 262-633-8300 for a peace of mind and a warm and toasty car this winter. Check out a remote car starter from Sound Decisions.
Some football players are hot, while some are not. It's time to check out fantasy stats and see who's hot and who's not. Brought to you by Just Not Salt and Pepper. Hot sauces, seasonings, spices, mixes, and more for your tailgate party. In Greenfield and at JustNotSaltAndPepper.com.
Prescott in the gun. They look like they're going to blitz. Here comes everybody. Slant in the direction. Cooper caught it on the bounce. Off the defender. Cooper walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Cooper. Cowboys win. How else would you settle this game besides the ball bouncing off a defender into Amari Cooper's hands and him walking in for the winning score?
Chuck, is that our boy Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio Network?
Yes.
That's got to be who
like
that
it.
Is.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Cowboys get the overtime win, 29-23. Amari Cooper, 3 touchdowns. So the easy thing to say, and it's easy because it's true, is maybe that trade was worth it for the Cowboys. After all, they are in sole control now of the NFC East, and you may have advanced in your fantasy matchup because of Amari Cooper. Cody Grant, our producer. Cody, I have to assume in your fantasy hot knots for the day, he was one of the hots.
Yeah, he was number one. 10 catches, 217 yards, and you mentioned, Bart, the 3 touchdowns. How about George Kittle, the tight end for San Fran? 7 catches, 210 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, 8 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns for Pittsburgh.
Now, who are fantasy owners going to be upset with that may have cost them a spot in the semifinals?
3 pretty big names. Antonio Brown, 5 catches, 35 yards, didn't do much. Todd Gurley last night against that Bears defense, just 28 yards on the ground, 3 catches, 30 yards. And it seems like Mike Evans is in this more times than not, just 4 catches for 86 yards.
Oh, that was okay. A PPR league, I did all right with him.
Yeah, but you expect more from Evans.
And there was no DeSean Jackson, so maybe you did want a little more. We'd be remiss to talk anything NFL without talking about the play from yesterday, Miami beating the Patriots at the buzzer.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it, and it's Greg. Greg, 30, 20. Gronkowski's got a tackle. Oh, no way. He got it in the end zone. What the hell?
The Dolphins win it.
Unbelievable. Are you kidding me?
That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
Oh, yeah, okay, Jack bucking it. That was the Miami Radio Network on CBS on TV. Ian Eagle was on that call, Chuck, and he had said the field goal before that, well, the Patriots have the AFC East, and then halfway through that play, he said, and this one's over. But no, it was not. Miami wins yesterday in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I was looking at the GameCast, and it said Miami's got the ball, 5 seconds left at their own 30-yard line, and all of a sudden an alert came on my phone. Miami wins 34-33. And I said to the guy next to me in the press box, I said, how did Miami win that game? Because it had not showed up on the GameCast. And then he, of course, right to Twitter, showed. We went right to the highlight, man. Within 10 seconds later, the highlight was up. What an incredible play.
They won that game because Rob Gronkowski was in at safety, and that was the last guy that Kenyon Drake had to beat.
And that's exactly what we were saying. We were saying, man, why is Gronkowski back there? He ain't going to catch him.
All right, so
he's not going to catch any of those guys. Why would you put Gronkowski? Well, they're not going to throw a 70-yard Hail Mary in that situation.
Kudos to the Dolphins guys for laddering it backwards. A lot of times somebody screws up and goes forward.
Sure.
And we just heard the Dolphin play, the excitement. We have to hear it from the other side. Here's the Patriots radio network.
At the 15-yard line, Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
This is inexplicable. I mean, he had two guys outside bracketed him at the 10. You had Gronkowski deep. He almost blows his knee out trying to get to the sideline.
And the Dolphins have won it over the Pats, 34-33.
That you just heard, that 30 seconds, was actually edited a little bit because after the guy was done calling the play initially.
And the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
They were silent for 30 seconds. And on the radio, that's called dead air. And if you're like, if Chuck and I don't talk for 3 seconds, people start to go, what's wrong with my radio? If you don't talk to 30 seconds, that's unheard of. But if your team loses that way, I get it.
Yeah. But we have the crowd in the background, and the broadcast is breathing a little bit there, and you're just stunned. I think that's what that was all about.